Stanley Powell's listening into that, or the back end of it anyway, and Kaiang Order has been directed to discontinue the sustaining tenancies framework and implement more stringent measures against chronic antisocial behaviour. Brooke Powell Stanley is a long-time advocate for those in difficult circumstances. She's been a long-time kaimahi too with Auckland Action Against Poverty. She's with us for a kōrero today. Brooke, tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe, Dale. Thanks for having us back on the show.
Well, it's easy to gloss over. The reality is if you've had a few issues and you haven't paid your rent and then you get kicked out of your whare, you and the kids are sleeping in cars, aren't they, Brooke?
Yes, and that's still a continuing thing that's happening at the moment, Dale. I just caught the back end of your kōrero with the Prime Minister, was it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, and just listening to him talk about housing as if it's some kind of like, it's not a human right, actually. It goes to people who he believes deserves it. Just goes to show how so out of touch and actually how so privileged he is. He doesn't have any kind of understanding of what's happening in these communities and what's happening in families and the impact of the trauma that people are experiencing that are living in poverty. And so, yeah, it was just really interesting to hear his kōrero about using housing as a way to, you know, people, he believes that there are people that deserve housing and there are people that aren't. And I think that's that should be something that concerns all people in New Zealand.
It feels sometimes like it's pandering to where the votes are. It's like Māori issues, tenants, errant tenants of Kaiang Order, the unemployed, the gangs. These are not the major challenges this country are facing, but anyone would think that they are, the way they've been prioritised. But hey, there are votes in there if you look like you're doing something and raise the ire of your middle ground voter. It does seem quite manipulative, doesn't it, Brooke?
Extremely manipulative. And I think you're right, Dale. With so many issues that we're facing as a country within the wider global context, you know, with people still struggling with COVID, with climate change, with wars happening in the world, and this government is prioritising, like, no lunches in schools, rewriting gun laws, bringing back 90-day trials, wanting to send 12 and 13-year-olds to jail for being involved in ram raids, you know, taking back half-price fees, public transport, and wanting to change the treaty principles. Like, where in those things is it looking to ensure that there's a just transition, that we're looking after communities, that people have enough to thrive, that we're dealing with the issues that all of our institutions actually are facing, and all of these things, and there's so much more that they've announced that are going to disproportionately impact communities that are doing the most. They feel like they're trying to make New Zealand safer when actually what they're creating is huge insecurity and huge chaos for communities that are already experiencing trauma on a daily basis and violence in the form of, like, poverty from this government.
Tēnā koe, Brooke. Really well said. Well, let's look at it from the perspective of a Kaiang Order tenant who might be having some troubles. There could be mental health issues. There might be access to, anyway, we could speculate. Some might have drug and alcohol issues too that remain unaddressed. And so it plays out in strange ways, and nobody wants to have a neighbour that's going off all the time, but kicking them out in the streets is not going to solve the problem, is it? It's just sort of pushing it onto someone else.
Exactly. It's just going to move it. To be honest, it's just going to put the onus and responsibility back onto frontline communities. And, I mean, just hearing his kōrero about, you know, it's your right to ensure that you're responsible. Well, how do you do that within the context of living through a time where you might not be working, you might be volunteering, you might be looking after kids, and you don't get enough money? Even people in low wage work don't get enough money to exist here in New Zealand in a way that recognises their own dignity and that keeps them well. It's so expensive to be well in this country. And if they can't even acknowledge that and making things worse, they can't acknowledge that people who are experiencing poverty actually have so many complex issues, as you mentioned, addiction issues, and so much more, mental health issues, then they're not looking to provide any type of solutions to those things with what they've called, like, recently, and saying that this is what we want to do. These things aren't going to fix any of these problems. They're actually going to make them so much worse, and they're going to make it worse for all of us, because all of us within the community will have to figure out how we're going to respond to it.
Brooke, you work in this space all the time, and I have long admired your empathy for people who find themselves in need of state support. I'm really concerned about our willingness to whack up houses, some of them just small units, putting people who are challenged because of a lack of hope into a unit and thinking all will be well. Well, we just expect people to sit and watch TV all day.
Well, the thing is, if this is what they're going to do, they're going to evict people in kāinga ora homes who have been displaying persistent antisocial behaviour and who are behind on their rent. It's going to increase homelessness. It's going to overload emergency and transitional housing spaces, which are already unlivable. Dale, if you go to any of these lodges and spaces and see what the conditions are like, you'll be shocked. Like, it's so upsetting, actually. And, it's just, they're not livable at all. There's no criteria to ensure that these places are livable as well. So there are so many people making money off this crisis and the crisis of poverty. Actually, it's big business for people and industry in New Zealand. And like you mentioned, it's not going to solve anything. It's not going to address like the underlying issues. And it's not putting forward this ideology and belief that actually housing is a human right. This should be our birthright, and anybody here should have access to secure and affordable housing. It's that simple. And this government is looking to strip away the rights of people that already struggle with those things. To be honest, Dale, this government's out the gate, like it really is.
You mentioned that there are many people profiting from Māori and Pacifica and others, of course, of poverty. Can you flesh that out a little? Because sometimes it's an area that we don't think so often of. We know the plight of the of people who are doing it tough, but we don't realise that there's a whole industry that is, making money out of their plight.
Yes, so, with the police force, there's jobs in the police force, there's jobs in the justice industry, lawyers, judges, jails, even health. Like, if families, at the core of family well-being, if people aren't able to be well and often aren't given the resources to be well, they don't have enough money, they don't have secure housing, they don't have enough kai, they can't access good health care, then that's going to keep people unwell. And when we do that, we look at all the organisations and industries surrounding those things that are looking to prop up families that are unwell. We look at, healthcare. There are so many people making so much money, actually, off the misery of our communities. And if you're not looking to resource our communities, if you're not making sure that our families actually have all those things within their own family to be able to do that work that responds to the trauma, because what is actually required is healing. And that type of work is quite intimate, and it's within families. And they need to ensure that families have all those things, but then also if they require the extra support and guidance from outside organisations, that they can access that without judgement and that it's easy. But if you don't do that, then of course you're going to make money in all these other spaces, which often our people aren't in. We don't have a lot of people in these other industry spaces, and so it's hard for many of us to exist and survive and actually keep us and our families well. And as we all know, especially for Māori and Pacific well-being, and a lot of Indigenous communities actually, our well-being is interconnected. If my mum isn't well, then I don't feel well. If my siblings aren't well, then I'm not well. Like, that kind of ripple, that has a ripple effect throughout the whole family. So it's making sure that for us at AAAP, that families are resourced to be well, and if they need that extra support from outside, they can access that support free of charge, that there is no barrier. The biggest barrier to wellness in this country is money. And if we don't address that, if we're not real about that, then we're going to continue this pattern of having in governments that look like they're doing work and look like they're making sure that, you know, putting in legislation that's ensuring those things, but actually they're not.
Tēnā koe, Brooke. It's always a pleasure to have a kōrero with you, sister. Thanks very much for your time this morning.
Thank you so much, Dale.
Tēnā koe. Oh, well. Brooke Powell-Stanley.